Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about it. People have been saying, when are you going to talk about it? Matt, what are we going to talk about?
Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Da, da.
In a galaxy long, long ago, in a place far, far away, lived a Jedi.
You know the song. Say it with me now.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we've been on a bit of a podcasting hiatus for Christmas and New Year's, Jonathan. Did you have a happy Christmas and a merry New Year?
Yes. I enjoyed all the politically correct terminologies for that time of year. Mm. Flew to Charlotte, went back to the southeast, and enjoyed a cool, crisp Christmas. Growing up in Australia, I'm used to a warm, hot even Christmas. Apparently it's unseasonably hot in Australia right now.
A little bit of a mini heat wave 2 days ago, but a bit of rain's come in now to make it a little bit cooler, but it's still warm.
Mini heat wave. Yes,
yep.
Bonnie and I had a very good time. My break was short, you know. I'm back at work, hitting that. I'm on the grind. Now we're getting back on the podcast grind, where we've got a couple of podcasts lined up. Are you excited, Matt, for 2018?
I'm so excited. I'm loving it. Keen for podcasts, keen for podcast grind.
All right, very good. Well, we're kicking off that grind with Star Wars, one of the biggest films of 2017. Hey, what is it at? A billion and something?
Let's have a look. What does Wikipedia say? It says the budget was $200 million and box office $1.2 billion. But I don't know when that was updated. So it made a profit.
Yeah, they're never going to... With those margins, they're never going to stop making Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're hoping for another Star Wars movie, I think they're going to do it.
Odds are good. My magic eight ball, odds are good. All right.
No one's making any calls going, you know those 20 Star Wars films we've ordered? Cancel them all. This one lost money.
Yeah. Daisy Ridley, not concerned about job security.
Yeah.
All right. So let's kick it off with a little bit of expectations. Matt, are you a Star Wars fan? Have you enjoyed the latest iterations in the Star Wars series?
I haven't seen all the Star Wars movies. So I'm not a huge fan. I'm not heaps invested in the Star Wars universe, to be honest. So I saw episode 1 and 2 and 3. I only saw episode 3 for the first time a couple months ago. What a shocker. What a horrible movie. have you seen that one? It's really bad.
Yes. I didn't particularly enjoy the prequels, and that was probably my least favorite.
I know this is probably very late, but this Anakin Skywalker guy goes from sort of going, oh, not sure who I want to be, to murdering a room full of children in like the space of 5 minutes.
That's a strong choice.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Dark side, light side. He goes all in, which I found particularly surprising for a film series where I thought the whole 3 episodes, like the whole purpose of that trilogy is to show, like, Anakin Skywalker descend over to the dark side. It seemed like a very quick pivot for something which they had 3 movies to flesh out.
Feels like he took an acting note very literally, like he was in the audition, and he's like, oh, I don't know, light, dark, and someone's like, look, Anakin, just go in there and make a strong choice.
He's like, so anyway, I saw episode 4, I think, last year with my friend Bass, and then I hadn't seen episode 5 and 6. I fell asleep during episode 5.
Oh no.
So I've seen those ones, and then I saw episode 7. It was quite good. I enjoyed it. I remember I probably gave it a very average, like good score when we gave the review. And then I saw Rogue One last year, and I thought that was the best Star Wars movie I've ever seen. I love Rogue One.
Rogue One, best Star Wars film.
Yeah, I'm calling it.
Wow.
I haven't seen 5 or 6 yet, so.
I think I saw this on the podcast last time we talked about Star Wars, but I like the originals, but our family, for some reason, had 4 on VHS and 6 on VHS, but not 5. So I love 4 and I love 6, and I think I like 5 because I watched it on TV as a kid, but I don't really remember anywhere near as well because I binged the other two. So those are definitely my two favourites.
Some people say 5 is the best.
Yes, some people do.
Like, so maybe we should watch 5 at some point, so
people are talking about. Yeah, we got 2 years before episode 9 comes out, I think.
Yeah.
We got some time to watch it. But Rogue One, I liked Rogue One, but the whole time I kind of thought, it was a bit like that episode of Stranger Things where Eleven goes to Chicago, or wherever she goes.
Okay. Yeah, continue.
I'm like, yeah, like, this is fine. This is interesting. This is well made, but it's not really why I watch Star Wars. Like, I'm not really invested in any of these characters. And I know it's tenuously linked to the Star Wars universe, but it's hard for me to say it's my favourite when I just kind of plodded along in moderately enjoying it.
I feel like the Rogue One crew are a lot more interesting and likeable than the gang Eleven joins.
Yeah.
I feel like I may have liked that episode of Stranger Things if I liked the characters.
Yes. I would give it a better score than that individual episode.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I really like it. I like that they just got in, they did something, they got out in Rogue One.
Yes, like, they had a clear objective.
Yeah, there's a mission. And I love stories of ragtag groups taking on sort of the world and have a good time along the way, making friends. Like,
making friends and getting it done. We got a clear objective and we're not boring.
Yeah. I was like, oh, now I've got to wait 2 years to watch the next bit. I'm like, okay, good.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished. Good job, Rogue One, guys. None of this faffing around with 3 movies.
All right. Well, speaking of faffing around...
This is The Last Jedi.
Well, The Force Awakens, It wrapped some things up. It wrapped up Han Solo's storyline. Spoiler alert?
Yeah.
I think not only are we going to be giving Force Awakens spoilers,
yes.
But we're going to get into The Last Jedi. It's been out for a little while. We want to talk about the nitty gritty details because there's a lot of interesting things that happen. So we'll give you our quick spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert! A very special Star Wars spoiler alert.
I think that was one of the best timed spoiler alerts we've done in a while.
Oh, nice!
Give that an A-. Just to give us room to improve.
Oh boy, a letter grading system. That's funny how to compare that to the number grading system we usually use. But anyway, I think A- sounds good.
So what are we tackling in The Last Jedi? We decided we'd break it down by characters because it's kind of, I'd say, maybe 3 main storylines for the film.
I think so. So, well, I guess we end The Force Awakens with Rey meeting Luke Skywalker on the little island sort of thing. And I had a lot of questions from that cliffhanger with, like, sort of, ooh, where is he in that island? Has he just been standing up there for ages waiting for someone to rock up?
Yeah.
Like, it seems like quite a tricky part of the, like, rock thing to get to. Did he see her thing coming, so left his lounge and pop on up to greet her? Like, you know, I had a lot of questions about that.
he just kind of poses there. He's like, oh, I think I hear something. I'll go up to the rock and I'll just kind of hang out casually and just look over my shoulder every couple of minutes for a dramatic effect.
I've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm not sure if this is the Last Jedi one, but I do if I'm meeting someone. Like, I know someone's meeting me at a train station or at a cafe or something. You always think about how am I going to look when they rock up? Like, I'm always trying to, like, maybe lean against a pole you know, like looking sort of cool. Like
hands in pockets, yay or nay?
Hands in pockets, yeah, maybe hands in pockets, leaning against a pole, like, you know, your legs aren't quite together, one sort of maybe, like, you know, back on the pole. Anyway, there's a bit of thought, like, you know, they're going to be arriving in the next 5 minutes. I want to look cool when they rock up. Like, oh, yeah, this is a cool mate to be grabbing coffee with or a cool guy to be seeing. And then they, like, get there really late and you're sort of just in this pose for, like, 10 minutes.
You've, like, wistfully thrown your scarf over your shoulder 12 yeah. times now.
Yeah. So, I think maybe Luke was doing that, perhaps.
He timed it well.
Yeah. So, anyway, we find out a bit about this island. There's a few little creatures on there.
Yeah, there is, they have those cute little bird, furry-looking bird things with the big eyes. I'm sure they have a name.
Wargs or something, or like they like go. Like,
yeah, they were cute. Like,
yeah, love them. Love. I just mean somebody who didn't like them. They were the least favorite part of the movie.
Least favorite? What?
Yeah. I wish I could remember who it was now.
Maybe they had a puppy run away, and they said, "I'm never getting emotionally attached to anything cute ever again."
Yeah.
No, love them. So here's what I thought about that storyline. I kind of understood why Luke was a little bit reluctant. He thought, it's futile. And the last time I trained someone, they ended up murdering all the other Jedis. But as a spectator watching Star Wars, you know he's going to crack eventually. So don't spend 45 minutes of him umming and ahhing and then eventually coming around. Like, you can easily cut that by, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I sort of agree. I also think, like, is Luke the guy who sort of, again, let's say he's got $200,000 worth of savings and he goes into, like, the roulette wheel and he puts, $199,900 on the number 8, spins the wheel, loses, and then he goes, you know what? I'm walking away with my $5. Don't want to risk this. Like, all the Jedis have been killed. There's no other Jedis left to kill. Like, why is he walking away from the table now? There's one Jedi who could maybe fix things, and if they turn evil and want to kill all the other Jedis, well, they're just going to kill Kylo Ren. He's the only Jedi left, and he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in that situation, what are you going to do with your $5? You know, grab a $5 footlong on the way out? Those are now $6. $5 footlongs don't even exist anymore. Like,
oh my gosh.
That's essentially what his existence is there on the rock.
Yeah, you got nothing to lose. Put it all on Ray.
No, I totally agree.
She pays out massive if you're right. Like, this is like, you can win the 200,000 back if she's able to defeat the First Empire.
What did you think about it from Rey's perspective?
I was a bit underwhelmed by Luke at first. Like, he seems like a bit of a just curmudgeon-y guy who's not really being forthcoming. Yeah, I sort of stuck around. He seems like kind of guy can give some good trait. Like, he is a pretty famous guy. Yeah, again, yeah, I didn't have strong opinions on Ray's perspective. I just feel like she probably did what she should have done and just been a bit persistent with him. I don't know what she could have done differently.
Yeah, and I guess his sort of reluctance, I guess, provides the space for her to dabble with the dark, is that fair to say?
Yes, this is interesting. So she sort of can talk with, like, is this the Force that helps her talk with Kylo Ren? Like, he...
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess it is the Force. What specifically links the two of them? I'm not sure. But they're able to talk to each other, and she also seems to get pulled into that hole, and she has that sort of trippy experience where she goes walking and she sees that kind of like hall of mirrors. She has that episode. I don't think I really entirely followed that. It seemed to be like she was searching for answers, but just more questions. It's like, oh, this is like, this has J.J. Abrams' fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, because you're sort of like, she was looking in the mirror to see who her parents were, and there's two shadows, and then just like, the picture is her in the mirror, and then like, I think Innocent Riders went, oh. I was not impressed. Yeah, so I think it's interesting her talking with Kyle. I think there's some interesting stuff, a bit of a dance that both of those characters are doing with each other. I wasn't quite sure everyone's motives the whole time, but I sort of didn't mind that ambiguity.
Yeah, so she's essentially saying, you're a monster, but there's still time to change. And he's like, you're naive, you're going to end up on the dark side.
Yeah, they're both sort of trying to convert each other, aren't they?
I like that. It was kind of interesting considering they weren't face-to-face. So the actors, we didn't really get to see that interaction. But yet the sort of the dialogue and the performances we still thought were quite engaging.
Yeah. And it's like it's sort of dangerous and like, but maybe like you don't know where it's going to. Like you sort of have that danger to it. Like you don't know, is she getting sucked in? It's like, yeah.
And they eventually team up in a way, at least momentarily. He brings her to, what's his name, Snope, the Supreme Leader guy.
Oh, yeah.
And what did you think of the scene where Snope is saying, you think you can see into Kylo's heart, but I can see... Yes, he's thinking about who he's about to kill. Yes, he's controlling the lightsaber and they don't even know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, I feel like Snoke's gone a little bit cocky here. I feel like he's, like, really fumbled the ball. I think Kylo, when he brought Rey in, was sort of more on Snoke's side of things. Mm. But it was almost like Snoke's was... almost tempting him to backstab him because he was sort of like, oh, I've got complete control over this guy. He'd never do anything against me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't reward him, does he? It's like Kylo might have brought Rey to Snope genuinely because he wanted to bring Rey to Snope. But then Snope's like, haha, Rey, you see, he's my little bitch and he'll do anything I want him to. Yeah, I have complete control over him. He would never backstab me.
Now here's the lightsaber to kill her with.
Yeah.
I liked when he cut him in half. I thought, oh, this is pretty cool.
It was pretty satisfying. I don't know. He was far less iconic and, I guess, an impressive villain, in my opinion, than Darth Vader.
Snopes or Kylo Ren?
Snope.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, he's pretty good, even though he really, really dropped the ball in that scene. Well, I've heard a theory that was an act, and that, like, one of my friends said, nah, Snopes is back, he'll be back. That wasn't really him dying. I'm pretty confident he's dead, though.
Yeah, I think so. We'll talk about this a bit in just a little bit, but I guess sort of the notion of visions, sort of the introduction of that element into the Star Wars universe really throws things open to the fans. You could really say that anything did or didn't happen at this point.
So then we have Kylo Ren with Rey, and she's like, this is fantastic. Good job, Kylo. You were a good guy. If we quickly get out now, we can help save some people now. Now we're heroes. And he's like, whoa, 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 hold your horses there. We just killed the leader of this movement. We're now emperors. We're now running this, the First Order.
Did you think we were overthrowing the evil government? No, we were just working our way up the ladder.
Yeah. That guy didn't know what he was doing. I know how to run this. And I think he's always like, look, we can run it a bit better. Like, no one's going to tell us what to do. You and me. It's not our way or the highway.
Double the trouble.
Yeah. Do you think there was any, like, sexual tension between these two?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I thought maybe a little. Like, I don't think it's going to be a love story between Kylo and Rey, but I did feel like there was, which maybe added to the sort of danger of those scenes with them.
I think if you ask Rey, it's like, are you attracted to Kylo? She'd be like, ooh, no, definitely not. And then if you ask Kylo if he was attracted to Rey, he'd be like, well, I don't know.
Would it be like, oh, did she say something?
What have you heard?
Probably not, but like, did she say something?
Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody asks, no, but, you know, just keep me in the loop.
Yeah. It's an active situation. It's like, I do think, though, to be fair, like, Rey, like, when you said, like, she goes, oh, no, definitely not. Like, I have said to girls, hey, do you like that guy? And they'll be like, oh, no, not at all. Then they've gone out with him, like, 2 weeks later. So.
Yeah, and then they end up proposing to them in episode 8.
Yeah. okay. So, what was I going to say? Kylo and Rey sort of break up. Not romantically, but then she goes and does her thing and he does his, right? I can't remember how it ends for her, to be honest.
Yeah, she ditches that and she ends up back with the Resistance. Is that what we're calling them?
Yeah.
And, well, speaking of potential sort of love interests, Finn, he was interested in Rey. Last film, but he spends most of this film away from her. His sort of storyline is the ship that they're on. I can't remember the name of it, but they're getting chased. They're getting chased by the, what do they call, the First Order or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's a bit of a silly thing in my mind. It's like, well, we're fast enough to get away from them. To stay just out of missile range, but we're not fast enough to get away, and we're eventually going to run out of fuel. So what that means is this kind of part of the storyline can just sort of stay in limbo for the next hour and a half until we need it to climax once the other storylines have caught up.
Yeah.
And what is it, Poe, Oscar Isaac's character? He's like, what are we doing? We can't just wait around. We need, like, a plan. Like, I'm a man with a plan. Man of action.
Yeah.
And Laura Dern's like, no plans for you. We will do nothing. There is no plan whatsoever.
Yeah. I feel like it's sort of, if you're on a train that stops and you're at a station and it's like there's delays, I'm sort of sounds a bit like, man. Maybe I should go out and get a bus. Maybe I should, like, go do something else. Take, you know, like, I can't sit here and wait. But usually it's better just to sit and wait on the train. Usually by the time you've figured something else out, the train's going.
Well, I feel like a lot of problems could have been avoided if those two just talked it out.
Yeah, like, she's leaving him out of the loop. He's sort of operating a bit rogue. Yeah, it's sort of like miscommunication is not helping them.
Because I spent the majority of the film hating Laura Dern. I thought, did you not watch the first movie? This guy's awesome. Like, put him in a jet and let's see what happens.
Yeah, he's got some harebrained. Let him go and do it. Sounds good.
That's how these movies work. But she was actually very selfless. She did have a plan. So we're going to let everybody else off, and then I'm going to turn the ship around. I'm going to fire it at light speed and sacrifice myself using this ship essentially as a cannonball to hit the big, whatever it is, the galactic evil shippy-doo-dah. And, but she didn't tell anyone. So he comes up with some crazy scheme that, like, a whole bunch of people die because of, that they didn't need to.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, here's two things. One is, I feel like if she'd told him the plan, he would have still gone off and done his own thing. I feel like he's like, can't let Laura Dern sacrifice her life. Like, he would have thought, I'm saving Laura Dern. Like, here we go. I've got a plan that will have no casualties.
Yeah, maybe.
And secondly, yeah, so this was quite the operation, this plan. So apparently they found out that, like, there's a tracker, they're tracking their ship, but if they can turn off something inside the first resistance ship, they turn off that tracker. That'll give them just enough time to use hyperspace to get away.
Yeah. Right? And I guess that storyline was a little bit interesting because we get to go to a couple of new locations. We go to the place with the big fancy casino, and you kind of get to see, you know, what is it, the sort of like the disparity between how people are living. And it kind of shows you, you know, that there are other regular folk out there that want to support the resistance, but it's all very kind of like hush hush. You know,
and it's mainly just kids
with broomsticks and secret signals.
So, yeah, were you interested in seeing what a casino is like in outer space?
Not really. But once they started rescuing those big horse dinosaur-looking things, I did kind of want him to get away. I was like, yeah, you run, you get out of there. And, like, at that point, I was like, okay, at least in the moment, this is entertaining enough to, you know, carry me through this eventually pointless side story.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty silly and ridiculous, this whole side story. I did like the kids, though. I did like that there's some kids, but, like, and then they gave them their badges or whatever. So I don't know, like, how do you reckon the, owners of the evil gambling horse racing club feel about all the kids wearing the resistance badges now?
Oh, I don't think they know.
Oh, okay, so they take it off when any other... I guess they were just given one badge, right? They're given one pin.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That could totally throw out the power dynamic of that little street gang. Like, before they had a totally democratic, altruistic child street gang, and now one of them has the badge. He thinks he's leader of the gang because he's got the resistance badge.
But I like the kids that with their brooms were like going, there's some people out there, these resistance guys, and they're gonna fix the world.
Yeah. A new hope. Yeah. A new hope, if you will, for those children.
A new hope. So then they get off the ship. The guy, sleazy guy from the casino who stole the spaceship, turns up turning on them, and the plan's a failure. Which is not what I was expecting him to save the day.
Yes, I guess that was an interesting little twist. It's like, well, if we can't get Justin Theroux, we'll get a stuttering Benicio del Toro. He's kind of... you know, the hero you least expect. Well, it turned out to be the villain you least expect. So I guess that was a nice little twist.
It was funny how the person they Skyped to figure out who to go to the casino was like, you have to get this one guy. No one else will be able to do this. Like, he is the only person that I would trust
in the entire universe. Like, you have to go to this galaxy, which you might not have time to get to, because he's the only one.
Yeah, and they don't even talk to the guy at any point. And then they just find some other, like, ragtag guy from here, and they're like, yeah, I guess he'll do.
There is one other guy and he just happens to be in the jail cell that you get thrown into.
Yeah. It did seem like there were so many things about the storyline that just seemed pointless. Like, the whole reason for going in the casino didn't pay off. The whole reason for getting on the ship, a lot of things not paying off.
Yes. And speaking of fortuitous circumstances, the ship goes at hyperspeed or whatever it is through the bad guy's ship, and there's, like, mayhem. Like, people are dying, it's getting, like, cut in half, there's fire and shrapnel going everywhere, and that just happens to save all the people that we're interested in.
Yeah.
They narrowly avoided the explosion, but,
yeah.
It just gives them time to get away and meet up with whoever it is in order to make their escape.
Yeah. Were there any other things that happened in this movie? Oh, yeah, there's this thing at the end. Anything up until then?
So the final scene, probably the last thing to talk about, is they kind of, the people that do get away, they kind of make a landing, and they're like, okay, this is our last stand. We're gonna send out a signal to everybody out there, you know. We need help. This is Princess Leia. Oh, should we talk about how, like, Princess Leia can just, like, fly through space?
Yeah, that was sort of cool.
I kind of forgot how powerful she was. That kind of seems surprising to me. It's like, oh, she just, like, died and floated out into space. Oh, no, wait. She, like, woke up and then just floated in a very sort of like Superman pose way back into the ship.
Yeah, as someone who hasn't seen movie 5 or 6, I feel like I'm not aware of how powerful she is.
Yeah, I mean, I think she has the Force. I don't know. I don't know how canon that was. But
she's Luke Skywalker's mum, right, or something, right, or sister? Like, sister, she's related to Luke Skywalker. He's got the Force. Like, I'm sure she's got a bit.
So anyway, she survives that. She's like, all right, send out the bat signal. We're making our last stand. And no one comes. So we have the bad guys, the First Order or whatever. They've got that big cannon thing pointed towards the door of their hideout. And this happened. This must have been one of the silliest parts of the movie for me. Finn is like, I'm going to fly myself into the cannon. Maybe if I fly myself into the cannon, I'll destroy the cannon and it won't be able to blast through the wall and kill everybody. And then Rose, who I quite liked, I think we were introduced to her this film. You know, she was quite nice. She was quite funny. But then she essentially tackles him with her plane, knocks him out of the way, because she's like, I love you and we need you and we need to stick together and fight for each other and can't let each other die. I saved you. And I'm just thinking, that was the one hope to stop this cannon from blasting through that wall and killing everybody left in the Resistance. You didn't know that Luke Skywalker was about to come and do some magic tricky-dicky shit? Like, if Luke Skywalker didn't show up, you essentially just killed everyone in the Resistance.
Yeah.
If that were me, I'd be like, I'm going to miss you, Finn. Good on you, buddy.
Yeah. Because the chance of them dying is, like, anyway.
Like, you know how it's like, you know how every action movie, well, not every action movie, but there's always has like, ah, it's like a 1 in a million shot to like save us. And people like, don't do it, you'll die. But you're like, yeah, you're going to die anyway. So you might as well roll that. This is Luke Skywalker all over again.
Yeah.
Rose and Luke Skywalker is like, I'm right there with you, buddy. I'm walking away with my $5 too.
Yeah. So anyway, but Luke Skywalker does rock up with some dice, Han Solo's dice.
That famous line, he rocks up and says, let's roll.
Yeah. So he rocks up, and he, Kylo Ren, like, he appears in front of, like, he's sort of in front of all the machines and robots and military tanks or whatever they've got there, and he stands there and Kylo Ren's like, wait, let's not blow up the door, let's train all our guns on Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And then they duck him with a military was like, there's so much smoke, that's how much they're shooting Luke Skywalker. And then the guy with Kylo Ren goes, there's probably enough.
More.
Yeah. And it's like, anyway, eventually he convinces Kylo Ren that he's done enough. And Luke Skywalker just brushes off his coat unharmed.
Yes. So at that point, I was thinking, I don't remember Luke Skywalker being that powerful. Is that canon? Maybe it's been a while since I've seen the films. Maybe I'm wrong. But surely Kylo should know better. It's not like he watched the films as a kid. Like, he has the Force. Like, he knows how the Force works. Surely he should be like, maybe that doesn't make sense. Or if he was somehow able to survive a barrage of a million missiles and lasers, me running over there and trying to punch him in the face isn't going to be any more effective.
Yeah, I feel like that. This is your walk away from the table moment. This is your, look, we've spent a lot of ammunition and stuff on him already. Clearly we can't do anything. We've got to walk away from Luke Skywalker. Just focus on something else now.
So he tries to fight him. And
which I think is what people wanted to see, right? A lightsaber fight with Luke Skywalker and Kylo Ren.
Yes. Yes. Like the end of Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yes.
Like, we need a battle scene here. Like, it doesn't have to be real. People just want to see it.
Yes.
And they fight. And what eventually happens? Does he just, like, does he just disappear on him? What does he do?
He disappears at some point, or, like, he shows that he's a hologram. Yeah, I think, doesn't he get stabbed, and then he pulls it out, and it's, like, not a real person. I don't know. I can't remember.
He's essentially just like, haha, this was just a ruse to stall you for time. Like, you know, in those Scooby-Doo cartoons. So my friends could run away.
Yeah, yeah. You've been appearing to, like, Ray this whole movie, but you haven't actually been in the same room. Like, I just did that.
Yeah. So a lot of people are saying, oh, I knew it, I called it, because he didn't make any footprints walking in the salt or whatever that was.
Ah, there are no red feet left. I didn't pick that up. I love the red salt stuff, though. That looked really cool when the ships were flying through it.
Yeah. I didn't actually spot that, but I did notice that he looked younger. And to be honest, I just thought, oh, like, they probably filmed that flashback scene, like, the day they did this scene, and they were like, don't bother getting, like, the grey paint out for his, like, beard or whatever. We'll just film this scene today as well. But no, I guess it was because I'm not sure why he didn't appear as his current self, why in the vision that he created, the hologram or whatever, that he appeared as his younger self. I guess because that would be how Kylo would remember him. But wouldn't you think Kylo would be like, wow, you haven't aged at all?
Yeah, I feel like maybe Star Wars sometimes uses... if Star Wars fans or creators are upset with me, but I feel like sometimes they use the what looks cooler philosophy when doing the movies.
The what looks cooler.
That looks cool. Like, it'll be cooler if he looks a bit younger, just do that. Don't really worry about why.
Yeah. Maybe they just thought it was clever. They're like, oh, we'll give them a little puzzle piece. See if people work it out.
I didn't pick it up. So, I never noticed his beard was a different colour, to be honest.
So, anyway, that works because everybody else managed to run out the back. They follow the little, I don't know, what are they, glassy,
foxy-looking things. Boxes.
Yeah. And just as it looks like they're not going to be able to get out because of all the rocks.
I do love that over just running out while Kylo Ren's fighting. I do love those, like, they're all like, oh, quick, oh, yeah, this way.
We've got his attention, let's go. And Rey moves all the rocks out of the way, right? And is that where she's reunited with Finn?
Yeah.
And poor Rose. She's not coming out ahead in that love triangle.
No, probably not. Why? you don't want to be up against The Last Jedi.
Yeah. No. And so that's pretty much it, I think. Have we covered The Last Jedi? Was there anything else that you wanted to mention?
No, well, I had a prediction in the last Star Wars podcast we did 2 years ago that Kylo Ren and Rey were related. Mm. That possibly they, like, Han Solo and Leia were two children, maybe, and that it was Rey and Kylo Ren. But it turns out I was wrong, because Kylo Ren said their parents were nobodies. So I guess there's no one of any importance. So I guess that's case closed on the Rey parent mystery.
I don't think so. I think you're misleading us there. I think you gave us the little like Luke Skywalker 1-2 Magoo.
So you think Kylo Ren was not on the level when he said appearance are nobodies?
No, I mean, here's the thing about this film. I feel like The Force Awakens just did everything down the line. It hit all the beats of a Star Wars film. It didn't rock the boat. It gave you what you wanted, but it didn't do anything original either. Whereas this film subverted a lot of expectations. It tried some new things, and it's possible that they built up the backstory of Rey just to be like, she's just a random. She's just a nobody, an anybody. And that could be a choice. But I think there's more to that mystery. I think they wouldn't have spent the time building that up unless there was going to be a payoff. So I don't trust Kylo. Because both of them said to each other, I've seen into your future and you end up on the dark side. And she's like, I've seen into your future and you end up on the light side. So it's like, one of you's got to be wrong. Kylo's not right about everything.
Well, they're both right and they just end up on opposite sides. It'd be pretty annoying.
It's like in... it's one of my favorite moments in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like Gun Fever Part 2 or whatever. Like, two of them are for guns, two of them are against guns. They go off, and then they end up on the opposite side of the argument, and they're like, ah, we just crossed paths. We just ripped right over the edge, didn't we?
Yeah, like Kylo Ren in the next movie is going to go up to Rey and go, I've been thinking about it. You were so right. Like, we need to be doing good things. This First Order's messed up. I'm on board. And she's like, oh, I'm on the dark side now. Like,
where were you a week ago?
Cool uniform. Yeah, they got cool uniforms. Yeah, that was so episode 8.
This that might be how they're their romantic journey goes as well. It's always like, I think I'm into him. And then he's like, nah, not interested. And then she's like, nah, I'm not interested. And he's like, oh, but now I'm into you. It's like, worst timing ever.
Yeah, I hate those. Oh, well, there you go. So, yeah, so no, I'm standing by my prediction.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if they're related, but I think there's something to it. We'll see.
There's more to the story that we'll find out about in 2 years or 4 years.
All right, very good. Are we ready to give it a verdict?
Yes.
Okay. Star Wars, The Last Jedi. This is a hard film to... Oh. Sorry. I was just... just so many thoughts whirring through my head.
Do you want me to start then?
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Matt.
You often give the first review. This isn't a complaint, but I'll just give my review. it was a fun movie. There were some things I liked. There was a lot of stuff that seemed pretty pointless, and it was way too long. But there were a few good scenes in there. I like the red salt stuff and things. I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
Enjoyable, but very unsatisfying.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm mostly in agreement with that. I think for a large part of it was entertaining. There was some good action. I like a lot of the characters. I thought it was quite funny at times. Some people didn't like that. Some people thought, Star Wars isn't supposed to be funny. You're ruining the tone. I don't think it was ever too goofy or silly or whatever that broke the tone. I thought it was just kind of light enough to add a bit of entertainment to the film. But it did feel very long. There were a couple of times I thought, oh, it's wrapping up now. Oh, no, it's wrapping up. Oh, no, we've gone to a new planet. We're not wrapping up anytime soon. So it felt long. I thought a lot of the side storylines went nowhere. There were a lot of things that didn't make sense to me, a bit plot holey, if not pointless. And I give them some props for trying new things. I think they didn't play this safe. I think they tried to do some new things. But a lot of the time I was just left scratching my head. I'm like, why does Luke Skywalker die? Like, why does he just kind of, oh man, it was just so draining to use that much force to be a vision, to be a hologram, that he just kind of disappeared into nothingness. Like, is that canon? Have we ever seen that before? I don't know.
I wouldn't know. I definitely wouldn't know.
So, even I enjoyed it, but afterwards I was left with a lot more questions. I've spent a lot more time talking about my grievances than what I enjoyed about the film. So I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay, we're pretty similar.
Bonnie, are you interested in giving a hot take on Star Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
What's your verdict? What's your summary on the Star Wars experience?
Do you wanna play me in?
I'm
already on. There
you go.
This is an audio.
Hot take on Star Wars. I liked it. It was a little long though. All I remember is being like checking my phone a few times throughout the movie and being like, I wonder what I'm going to eat after this.
It made you hungry.
What
did we eat afterwards?
I don't, probably, like, knowing us, like, hummus and pita bread and olives or something. I don't know.
That sounds a lot more like you than me.
If I had to give it a score.
Yeah, out of 10. That's 10? The screen verdict system. Copyright 2011.
I'm going to give it a solid 5.8.
A 5.8 out of 10.
Yeah, because it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. It was just like another Star Wars film that was long.
All right. I think that gets rounded up to a 6. Typically, we keep it to half marks only.
What do you think of the little porgs, Bonnie?
What?
It's like the third different thing we've called them this podcast.
I just looked it up. They're called porks.
All right.
What is
we got
that?
There eventually. The
what
little furry bird-looking things that were on the island with the big eyes.
Those were probably the saving grace of the film, right?
Highlight. All right. Well, we were all in the same range. 6, 6.5, 7. So pretty consistent across the board.
Oh, is that really what you guys said? Nice.
All right. Well, there you go.
It's fine.
Was there anything else we wanted to add for housekeeping? What do we have coming up just to wrap up the podcast?
Well, we've got to review Coco. Because that's the next Pixar film. So we want to see where that falls in our rank of all the Pixar films.
Yes, we love reviewing Pixar films. We got to add it to our infamous Pixar rank. Where will Coco rank from, what is it, 1 to 19? There or thereabouts.
Yeah. So that's something. We've got to do Game of Thrones, Jonathan. We haven't reviewed the season of Game of Thrones yet. How are you going with
that? Yeah, I'm only a few episodes behind. How many episodes are there in the latest season?
I'm going to say 8, but I could be wrong.
I'm 8 episodes behind. Yeah, I'm 7 episodes behind.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we'll get to it. So there you go. And it's awards season, so I'm sure we'll be reviewing lots of movies. So, let us know. If you have any specific requests, facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. Let us know what you want to hear.
Yes, we'll do whatever.
You cast a very wide net, and then you brought it in very quickly.
Yeah. it's an exciting time. There's a lot of movies coming out and stuff like that at the moment. So we can see, maybe there'll be awards and podcasts of Oscars and Screen Verdict Awards coming up.
Yes, the Oscars in a lead-up, in the warm-up to the ESPYs, the Screen Verdict Awards for 2017. So a lot to look forward to, guys. Thanks a lot for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll catch you next week.
Yeah, see you, mate.